Our morning text for me comes with a story, a searing memory of a young woman in her early 40s who was dying of cancer, leaving behind a 14-year-old son and a loving husband. And her best friend was our church organist. And they had one of those last heart-to-heart conversations. And this lady said to my friend, the church organist, "Has God really provided for me? Is God really real? Could our whole Christian faith be some kind of elaborate lie? Could God be a hoax?" And my friend, through her tears, tried to address this dying woman's concerns. But she said to me later, I spoke to her, but I don't know if I reached her heart. She was looking for certainty of God's presence. She was looking for proof of God's reality. How could I give her proof? It is a penetrating question, and it is one that I think this text addresses. Jesus' disciples passing by a man who has been sitting in his accustomed place at the temple, begging for alms, a man who everyone knows has been blind since birth, and they can't help but ask Jesus, "Lord, who sinned that this man was born blind, his parents or was it him?" Now, that question has an implicit assumption that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people, and that theology pervades to this day. And you can be sure, with his acute hearing, the blind man would have heard the question and would have been curious about this young rabbi's answer. For he too would have wondered, what did I do or my parents do that caused me to be afflicted with this great burden? But Jesus answers, neither he sinned nor his parents sinned that he was born blind, but it does provide opportunity for God to be glorified. Now, a caveat. Jesus was not stating a universal principle here. He's not stating that every handicap, that every deformity or problem is meant to be for God's glory. He's saying here is one situation, one need, one burden, and it can be used for God's glory. And then, with his acute hearing, the blind man heard the sound of spitting. And he cringed because he had been the butt of many a vicious person over the years. But he heard the spittle hit the ground, and he heard the man stoop to the ground and start making mud. And then suddenly he felt this gluey clay across his eyes, and he was angry until the master's voice calmed him, saying, "Go, wash in the pool called Sent." Someone led him to the pool. He washed his eyes, and suddenly he could see. Suddenly he looked and found shape for all the sounds he had heard for years. He could see. But it was precisely when God's transformative power entered his life that his life became complicated. It was precisely when he was healed that his real troubles began. His healing even caused an argument among his friends. Some said, "Well, it kind of looks like him." And others said, "No, it's really him." And when he said, "Yeah, it was me, I was the one born blind," they said, "Well, you got to go to the priest." But when he went to the priest, The religious authorities, the servants of the sacred, were even more skeptical about his healing than were his friends. How are you healed? Who healed you? Oh, not Jesus. Jesus is a sinner. We know he's a sinner because this is a Sabbath. And this man has violated the Sabbath. Give God the praise, for this Jesus is a sinner. And the man answers in a reply that has cut through the ages. Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, and now I see. If you are looking for a testimony that speaks to the proof of the reality of God, the only truly compelling testimony is that of the blind man. I was blind, but now I see. If that testimony is true for your life, then you have compelling evidence of the reality of God. If your testimony is, I was guilty, but by God's grace I have been cleansed. I was hopeless, but by God's strength I now have hope. I was forlorn, and God's strength gave me a future. I was addicted, and God's power freed me from that habit. I was confused, but by God's strength, I understand. I was devastated, but by God's strength, I was uplifted. I was weak, and God's strength made me strong. There is only one proof. If in the marrow of your being you have experienced the reality of God and have moved from darkness to light, then you have proof of the reality of God. I think of the great preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick, who had a good friend. And Harry Emerson Fosdick said of him, his problem is he has no invisible means of support. He has no invisible means of support. What he was saying was, in a crisis situation, this man had no inner resources with which to deal with the external pressures of life. I have seen many such people who, amidst the crucible of living in times of darkness and pain and turmoil, had no inner resources upon which they could draw, and their terror inside was terrifying to behold. But I've also seen the other side of the equation. I have seen people who've experienced the true resurrection power of God. And even when they are told they have a terminal illness, they can radiate a peace and a joy because they have the presence of God within them. I have seen that reality of God displayed in a hospice unit as someone said goodbye to the people he loved. I've seen it at a marriage altar, where two people come in joy because they know their love for each other is God's great gift. When you have experienced the reality of God's presence, when you have been lifted up by the reality of God's strength, when you have leaned on the everlasting arms and found them sufficient to you in your need, then you know God is real. For me, this text is the very center of my faith. For I could not do what I do. I could not answer the calling to which I had been called unless I had experienced the resurrection reality of God. I couldn't go into a hospital room and pray that you might receive healing power unless I had experienced that healing power. I couldn't bring you popcorn on the OBGYN floor when you brought new life into the world unless I had experienced the joy that comes in Christ. I could not stand here as we pay tribute to the life of someone who has departed from us and say the words, "In Jesus we have resurrection and life," unless I had experienced the resurrection and life. But I have known on the mountaintop and in the abyss the reality of God's presence. The Spirit has come to me in the dark nights of my own soul. And I know in the very marrow of my being that Paul's testimony is true. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. If that is your experience, if that is your testimony, you have proof of the reality of God. I think of my mentor, my great teacher, Frank Tupper, now retired from teaching theology at Wake Forest Divinity, who lost his own wife when she was just in her early 40s, leaving behind two small children. And shortly thereafter, we entered into a theological colloquium. And I can hear his voice, even though it's been decades since he spoke. And he said, "I would love to say there is no God, but that would be a lie. For I have experienced the grace of God, the amazing grace of God, and I am a changed person." Even in his anger, even in his anguish, in the abyss and pit of his life, he would love to say God is a lie, but he knew his own life was testimony to the contrary. The amazing grace of God had sustained him in this darkest moment. Every life has to take one of two choices. In the experience of the wholeness of life, height and depth, good and bad, you can say there is no God, and you can close your ears off to the summons of God, and you can wither in your soul, and you can be dead in your inner being long before your physical body has left the earth. Or you can choose to open your being to the nurture and nourishment of God's Spirit in the highs and the lows, on the heights and the depths. And you can be strengthened by God's nurturing presence in every moment. Many years ago, I opened up a magazine and started reading about the miracle drug TPA. It dissolves blood clots. And I got about halfway through the article and thought, it's pretty interesting. I'll come back to it. That afternoon, a friend of mine at age 36 suffered a major heart attack. And he was the first person in Augusta, Georgia to receive TPA. And it saved his life. I didn't need to go back to the article because nothing I was going to read was going to convince me of the power of that drug like watching it save my friend's life. That's God. You can read about God, you can talk about God, you can discuss about God, But you don't really know God until you allow God's presence into your inner being. Until your testimony is that of the blind man. I was blind, but now I see. I am blind, but God is still helping me see. I will be blind, but I trust that God will allow me to see. A church is no collection of perfect people. Church is not even a collection of righteous people. A church is a collection of people who share the blind man's testimony. A church is a collection of people who can say, in my inner being, I have experienced the reality of God. I was blind, but now I see. I am blind, but God is helping me see. I will be blind in the future. But I trust that God will give me sight. I say that this text comes with a story. It actually comes with two. While I was at seminary, I became good friends with the seminary's artist in residence. And one night he told me his story. His Broadway play opened and closed in one night. And this playwright and actor was so devastated that he said, "My life is worthless." So he went down to the ocean, and his plan was to swim out as far as he could and then drown. So he began to swim farther and farther from shore. But with each stroke, a phrase began to pulsate inside his mind. God is love. 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 And as he's swimming, suddenly the thought penetrates not just his mind, but his soul, and he realizes God is love. God is love. And so, physically, spiritually, literally, he turned his life around and managed to make it back to shore. A few months later, this man sat down with a collaborator and they wrote the best-selling youth musical of all time. Celebrate life. Celebrate life. The man's name is Reagan Courtney. And the climax of that musical was a resurrection anthem. He is alive. 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 The testimony of a man who had experienced the blind man's story. He had been blind, but now he could see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. May that be our testimony. May that be our proof. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, we all know moments of blindness and darkness and confusion and despair. But we know that if we open our being to you, you will provide us with the proof of your presence. May we open our being in hope and in faith through Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.